writing about the history of the way in which careers were open to women, and that when she wrote the cause, I think this was the bit of the cause that most excited her, not the actual women's movement history itself, but the opening of one career after another by the doctors, by the teachers, by all of these. And this she found very inspiring. She contrived to make me find very inspiring too, which was rather a feat, because most of it I didn't find. And this I did. I myself have lectured frequently out of the cause on the opening of the professions to women. For me, she expected me to become Lord Chancellor. She wanted me to be a barrister, and she wanted me to become Lord Chancellor. This was her usual optimism. But she was deeply interested in what I was going to do. She didn't really know. She said she didn't think it mattered terribly. But she was quite sure that I'd do something better, after all. But she was. I mean, this business of opening new fields was, I think, what excited her about that. You note the picture in the cause of the chimney sweep.
I've forgotten that.
No, she was very fond of that. There was a woman chimney sweep in the war.
Oh, it was, yes.
She was very fond of that. Yeah. And it wasn't only the learned profession she wanted to open, it was all of them.
She never had a proper career in inverted commas herself, did she? Do you think that ever worried her?
No.
She really was an amateur, wasn't she, in a sense? She had to be.
She was some. A manipulator to a great extent, and I don't think she minded. No, she there again, that's a matter of generation. I think to a great extent she knew that in the careers as such, the paid full-time jobs, women were not yet there, and it was indeed to make women get there that she was working. She felt that what she was doing was the success of the next generation, if you see what I mean. In my generation, we were more or less there. I mean, I was in a job which was equally paid, and I got to be quite senior in it.
Well, BBC was very good anyway.
They were, you know, they were during the war, but they were bloody bad afterwards. Yeah, there was a whole, what you call it, PPL book written on four major employers of women, criticizing them and pointing out what they did wrong. BBC. When I started getting senior, I got into the. I'm sorry, this is all me.
Yes, I'm sorry. Did it's all again now? Did read sort of novels, sort of cheap novels, and so on. I mean, this was just part of her insistence on relaxing.
Sure, I did.
Yes.
I mean, I really do resent the way in which people think that reading bad novels is a thing you ought to do if you're intelligent.
I mean, if she could write books of the quality of the cause, you'd think that she'd be bitten by the desire to read biographies of...
So she did, but she read a great many books.
Because her time for reading must have been very limited.
Now that, you see, is a myth. That's a complete myth.
Oh, well...
That's a complete myth. If one is addicted to reading, one reads... I, for instance, have been all my life in the habit of reading at least three books a week. And when one does it, God knows, one does it in the underground, one does it in bed, one does it in the loo, one does it over meals. She always read over meals, for instance.
Did
she? Always, yes.
Inheriting the straight habit,
yes. And if the conversation got interesting, she'd stop reading, and if it got boring, she'd start again. And so did we.
Did she read a lot at night? Did she need a lot of sleep?
Yes, she needed a lot of sleep, and she slept very well.
She doesn't make time that way. But nonetheless,
she read immensely fast.
Yes.
And, I mean, the reading of bad books has always seemed to me to be like smoking of cigarettes or the drinking of drinks, something which, if you like to do it, why the hell should you do it?
But they were bad.
Some of them were.
I mean, they're sort of crime novels or
what? Well, you look at mine, it's slightly different. Mine is science fiction for the most part.
But you see, I mean, in a letter to your grandmother about, I think, succeeding Colonel, that is, that she seemed to have an aspiration to.
Yes, Yes, she did, very nearly.
To be ahead of one of the worst colleges in Cambridge.
Yes, that I think she would have liked. There was a question of it.
Mm.
And I think she would have liked that. I can't remember why it didn't happen. I think it may even have been the war.
Well, it was just there wasn't a vacancy at the right time.
Things didn't go down. That I think she really would have liked, yes.
Mm. Well, she'd have been good at it, wouldn't she? Because
very
she
good, I think, yes.
Because of the appointments. She had this connection with the appointments board there, didn't she?
Because she hadn't got the academic background at all. Might have refused it for that reason.
Yes, I see, but she'd written good books. And she was very much in the swim.
Indeed, but the wooden spoon.
Yes.
They might have not have liked it.
She got her, what was it, the second or third?
It must have been the third.
But that was just because she was constantly hocking, was it?
That's what everybody who says, who gets a third always says.
And did she ever talk about that? Or
she was quite happy to say so. She wasn't. I got a third too, and I'm not the least ashamed of that either. But it wasn't just because.
No, I mean, the point was that she, with the others, well, I'm sure, but also with her, she could have got a third, couldn't she? She intellectually, she was.
I think it depends how hard you worked, doesn't it?
Mm.
I mean, yes, I suppose in theory she could, if she'd worked hard enough, have got it.
Mm.
But the fact that you don't work hard enough is just as important as the fact that you could have, isn't it?
Mm. Oh, yes. Yes, I agree. I was trying to sort of see quite why it was.
Why she didn't?
Mm.
There are too many other things to do.
She also had, perhaps it was the wrong degree for her anyway. Perhaps she would have been bitten and wanted to work, just being on a different degree course.
I don't think so. I think she was much too occupied with the social life and things that went on. But I think she knew how to work, which is more than I did.
Mm. You mean that she could just shut herself off and
Well, I couldn't. I couldn't work. I mean, it was. I used to start screaming if I was put down in front of it. I couldn't do it at all. Didn't know how to. In fact, not only didn't know how to, but couldn't bring myself to at all. Hated, loathed, and detested it.
In your sagas, which I don't want to talk to too about, because it's exposed at such length in that chapter, apologies, so you may not want to talk about it anyway. She was.
Mind you, it's no truer than the rest.
Yes, she was very good to you, wasn't she? I mean, your mother was very understanding of your situation, wasn't she? Helpful.
Immensely. When I turned up in San Francisco, and my husband was put into a hospital there, and we ran out of money, and I didn't have enough to eat, actually. I don't think this occurs in it, because this was
censored out.
But he went into hospital largely, I imagine, for psychological reasons, because there wasn't enough money left. He'd used up all there was. And I was in the hotel, St. Francis, and I ran out of cash. And I had to keep enough to get up by bus to go and see him every day. Didn't have anything to eat at all. And after 2 days of this, not knowing where the next flight was going to come from, and pregnant, I came back to the hotel, and as I went rather sadly back to my room, the door opened, and the nurse of the hotel, who had helped get him into hospital, opened the door and said, "Come in here for a moment, will you?" I went in there, and there was a trolley full of a hot dinner. And you know, a thing like that makes a lasting impression on one's view of humanity. She'd noticed. It was really wonderful then. And then I rang up my mother, and I'd forgot that it was bank holiday, Whitsun bank holiday. So I had to pursue her down to Mud. I rang her up, and I said, "I've run out of money." And she said, "How much do you want?" And I said, "Whatever it was." And she said, "Where shall I send it?"
Backed you up as she did at school.
Absolutely. Nothing more. Just said it, and there it was the next morning. There's a wonderful feeling of security in insecure. Because can you imagine more insecure circumstances? and B.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, it was in a considerable pool. And she did back me up. And then when I got back there and was pregnant, she knew by this time that he was total dead loss and hadn't any money and hadn't absolutely anything, been telling me psychological lies the whole time. But she didn't want to tell me because she believed that if she told me, I might very well have a miscarriage and I'd then never forgive the people who caused me to have a miscarriage. So she didn't tell me. She concealed it from me until the child was born.
And then she told me?
Then she told me. No, I think she was an hagiographic. I may be too, but I think she was a wonderful mother. And she certainly had a hell of a time over that period, which did not appear in that. I mean, she showed the practical worries, but she didn't show the trouble she had.
She always turned, and one of the points that, in fact, your grandmother brings out is that she always turns any thing that most people would regard as an awful happening into something that at least has its good side. You see, she made that in letters to her grandmother, to her mother, whether in fact that was always so, I don't know, but...
The letters she wrote to Christopher at the time of the saga were very much more realistic than the ones she wrote to her mother. No, I think there was very little that she was able to find that was cheerful about that. Except that perhaps it made an exercise which occupied the letter to her mother, which would otherwise be difficult to fill.
She was very good also, I mean, seemed to be very sensible, very, quote, modern, in her attitude to sexy relations generally, really, wasn't she? I mean, she seemed to be very sort of easy.
Well, when I was 17, actually 1929, I wrote to her from Vienna, where I was staying at the time, and I said, do men really expect a woman to be a virgin when they marry? She wrote back to me, and she said, no doubt I should be censured for writing the wrong thing to you. I've got the letters downstairs. I shall go to use them in my book. No doubt I should be censured for saying the wrong sort of things to you, but I cannot really believe that a man who wanted his wife to be a virgin would be the kind of man